I'm just going to share my heart with you about this thought. But really, the truth is, worship is the sure indicator that you are saved. Now, I'm not talking about religious activities. I'm talking about worship, where there's communion between your heart and God. Amen. You say, well, what is worship? Well, you can't describe it, but you'll know when you've done it. Amen. Worship. There's a response from you when the presence of God moves, that your spirit that's been regenerated and made alive, your human spirit that was dead in sin, but when you get saved is made alive. Brother, life is a description of being saved. Amen. Deadness is a description of being lost. Amen. Amen. And most people today, a lot of people in churches today, are dead as 4 o'clock. Amen. But worship, have you ever worshiped? Has there been worship in your heart? And that's the indicator. John 4, what is it? John 4:34, is it? Or God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And my soul. I mean, you think about it. God is going to populate heaven with worshipers. That's what we're going to be doing in heaven. Worshiping the Lord. Amen. God's going to fill the place with worshipers. Amen. I would really check up if I wasn't a worshiper. Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's get on our thought here tonight for just a little while. I want to deal with the subject, the short-lived blessings of God. The short-lived blessings of God. My phone's rung off the hook from preachers everywhere wanting to know what's going on here at the church and what's happening and all that sort of stuff. And, of course, I take great joy in being able to tell them. Amen. You know, Brother Jeremy, we could be telling, well, the Lord's moving across town. The Lord's moving across the state line somewhere. But I was able to say, you know, this is what's going on at RBT. This is what's happening here. And praise God for that. But I was telling Brother Jeremy Simpson, he called yesterday, and I was telling or trying to tell him, let me put it that way. You can't describe it, but I was trying to tell him about the services that God has been giving us here lately, specifically Sunday night. And I was just there talking to him on the phone, and I told him, I said, Brother Jeremy, I said, one of the things that really troubles my heart is I wonder just really how short-lived that Sunday night service will end up being. As powerful as it was, as we've even heard testified tonight, many testimonies Sunday, many Monday have testified they've never in their entire life been in anything like that. I mean, really. Those services, I was telling Brother Andy Wells, those type services, that caliber of a service will come in a person's life maybe once or twice, very few times. Of course, it's not that God don't want to give them. It's not that God won't give them. It's that we just don't get there too many times. Amen. As someone quoted I believe it's Brother Craddock, blessed is he that doth hunger and thirst after righteousness, for he shall be filled. You know, God will fill us anytime. God will fill us anytime we get empty. God will fill us anytime we get hungry. But oh, what God did Sunday night and what He's doing, wants to do with it. I like what Miss June testified about tonight. God wants to do something with that. That's not just a day in history. That's not just something you write down in your spiritual diary as a day that happened. God meant for what's happened Sunday night and the days prior to that and Monday. God intends for that, my friend, to put footprints in your life and leave fingerprints in your life and go on in your life. Amen? I mean, become a part of you. What you feed on becomes a part of you. You may not see it, but it's a part of you. You are today what you've been eating for the last several years. Good or bad. Amen. And boy, if we'll feed on Sunday night, it'll become a part of us. Amen. We'll digest that, and it will go into all of our being and be a part of our life. But I'm interested in the subject, the short-lived blessings of God. We're going to read a few verses of Scripture tonight and point out some Bible examples of what I'm talking about and make a few possible reasons for that short-lived blessings of God. But let's look in Galatians 1, and let's start reading in verse... let's just start in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And here's what Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Notice that statement, so soon. And notice that Paul uses the word marvel. Paul said, I can't believe this. Paul says, I'm shocked. Paul's saying, I'm blown away. Paul said, I am speechless almost when I consider what you experienced in verse 4. And now, two verses later, I'm telling you that I'm amazed and I am marveling at the fact that you are so soon removed from him that called. He said, I cannot believe how quickly you let the bigness of God get little in you. I can't believe that you experienced this great deliverance in verse 4 from this present evil world by the grace and the power of God. And then two verses later, Paul's writing a sad commentary and says, you are so soon removed. I've been in revivals that you would have thought would have lasted forever. And just a few days, possibly a few weeks, to get a report that there's seemingly no apparent evidence left of the revival. We've seen it here. God moved through this church like a freight train. And we think, my soul, we'll never get over that. We'll never get beyond that. God has marked us and God has made us hungry for that again. Only in just a few days, my friend, a few weeks. Amen. For some. Amen. Sooner than others. Amen. Guess what? We got over it. So soon removed. Amen. I'm just going to read off what I wrote down here. How many times the Lord moves in our life for it to only affect us for a short period of time. Do you think possibly that'd be the will of God? I don't believe it is. God moves, my friend, with lasting effects. Amen. Amen. How do we think that it makes God feel when He manifests Himself and when He breathes and when He works and when He demonstrates only to watch His people in a few days not even recall it? Not even bear any evidence of it in their life? How do you think that that would make God feel? Amen. If I was God, it would insult me. If I was God, it would cause me to say, well, you better think about that last manifestation because it's going to be a long time before I bless you again. I'm talking about if I was God. But I'm glad I'm not God and God is not me. Amen. God is not a man to operate the way we do. Amen. Many times I would have cut me off and God shows mercy. Amen. Amen. But I just wonder how it would make him feel when he gives us his influence and he speaks with his voice and he reveals his presence and demonstrates his power only to be short-lived in the saints. Amen. When something is short-lived, it simply means it only lasts for a period of time. Then there's no evidence, no effects, as if it never happened in the beginning. Amen. Many times this happens. Amen. But I don't believe it's the Lord's will to you. I don't believe it's the Lord's will that we let what God has been doing. I'm just going to tell you, we have seen some mighty powerful services here over the court. I know over the past 17 years, we have seen some doozy services. I'm talking about you couldn't stand it. Amen. It was so much God in this place that it was almost like God was bouncing off the walls. Amen. And boy, this church learned, most have learned a long time ago, you don't have to settle for coming to a service and listening to a dried up robot repeat a few verses, amen, out of some scripture or whatever. But thank God we can have the realness of God. We can enjoy and walk in the power of God. We can. It's available for us. If God was a machine, then I could understand us becoming mechanical. But He's alive and He's spirit and He's well. And so we are. Amen. But let me give you some verses. We've read Galatians 1 and verse 16. I want us to turn back in the Old Testament. I want us to look at Exodus 32. These are just a few verses that really illustrates my thought that God put on my heart. Yesterday evening, I didn't know I was going to be preaching it tonight, but the more I thought about it, the bigger it kept getting. But Exodus 32, and you know what Exodus is, the book that describes the Exodus, the exit of God's people out of Egypt's bondage. And I want you to look at something here, and we'll go back, and I'm just going to read these verses because these verses really establish my thought. Exodus 32 and verse 8. This is the passage where they had been led to the base of Mount Sinai, and Moses had been up on the mountain with God. And in the meantime, the children of Israel had turned and built the golden calf. You know the story. But let me just read this verse. Look what the Bible said in Exodus 32:8. They have turned aside. Now this is God telling Moses. They have turned aside, notice this, quickly. Does everybody see that? Quickly. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now turn over, if you will, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, please. Just a few more books over. The fifth book of the Old Testament, the second writing is what Deuteronomy refers to. And I want you to look in chapter 9, two different verses in chapter 9 of Exodus. Look at Exodus 9 and verse 12. And the Lord said unto me, and this is similar to what I just read to you. And the Lord said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt. Now keep in mind what an experience that was. Keep in mind all that God had to do for them to experience a deliverance from Egypt. And they were those people that had been brought forth out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They are, here it is again, they are quickly turned aside out of the way which I've commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Look in verse 16 again. And I looked, and behold, ye have sinned against the Lord your God, and have made you a molten calf, and ye have turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. Now I want you to turn over to, I believe this is Judges chapter 2. Judges, just keep turning to your right. right on through Joshua and Judges, chapter 2 of Judges, verse 17. If you're taking notes, write these verses down. 2:17. Notice the Bible says, "And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so." You see that? And then turn to Psalms 106. I want to read these verses because they establish what potential we have of quickly and short living the blessings of God. Just short living the blessings of God. Psalms 106. I want to turn to these passages myself, and I want us to begin reading in verse number 6. The Bible says, "We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt." The word wonders means miracles. "The extraordinary works of God. And they remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he said, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise." Now what's that? That's what happened on the victory side of the Red Sea. They believed the Word of God. They were standing there singing the praises of God. But what's the next verse? "They soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their souls." Now what about that? Now those are verses that just further emphasize our thought this evening of the short-lived blessings of God. We don't have to get over it, Brother Stallard. They don't have to be short-lived. God wants them to go on and on and on and on and on and on and on in our life. Amen? But here's some illustrations that some of them I've read about and some I haven't, but I want to give them to you. I just jotted them down. They're not in any particular order. The children of Israel quickly forgot what God had done in delivering them from Egypt. Came to the Red Sea, which we've read about tonight, and Pharaoh began to approach behind. And you know what they told Moses? I'm talking a short period of time from deliverance from Egypt to the Red Sea. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what they told Moses. "Ye have taken us away to die in the wilderness." The same man that God used to deliver them, just in a very few days, no more than three, less than three really. Took them 3 days to get to Sinai. It was less than 3 days. And here they are telling Moses, because of a difficulty, because of a dead end, because of the enemy pressing in behind, looked like they were going to die. They said, "You have taken us away to die in the wilderness." That's Exodus 14, verse 11. And here's what the Bible says in that the next verse, verse 12. "Did we not tell you, let us alone? Moses, didn't we tell you, leave us alone? You've just brought us out here to die. I mean, short period of time had passed. They'd forgot about all the 10 plagues that fell on the Egyptians, but did not fall on any of the Israelites. They had forgotten, my friend, how the blood of the sacrifice had spared them from the judgment of God. They had forgot how that God brought them out with a high hand and delivered them from the bondage and the control of Pharaoh in Egypt. They forgot about that. Here they are just in a short period of time saying these things. They forgot it all. God led them with a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud by the day, but they forgot about all that. I mean big things. I know what some of you are thinking, as I am. You're thinking, my goodness, if I'd have been there and saw what they saw, I'd have never turned against God. I'd have never doubted Him. Well, I can't believe they're doing that. My, if I'd have been, God was leading me with a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud in the day. Pillar of fire at night to warm me. Pillar of cloud in the day to give me shade from the heat and sun of the desert. Well, I tell you, I'd believe. And then they come to the Red Sea and they watched God. I said they watched God stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they watched God miraculously, my friend, open the Red Sea. He said, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible's for believers. Amen. Amen. Brother Billy Kelly said one of his professors one time tried to explain that miracle away and said it was the Reed Sea and it wasn't but ankle but wasn't but knee deep. And Brother Kelly told him, he said, well, you've made it even a greater miracle. All of Pharaoh's army died in knee deep water. Amen. But they forgot. They seen that. Oh, can you imagine? We can't imagine. We cannot comprehend, Brother Silas, what it looked like to stand there and watch that ocean split. You're right. And the waters stand up on a wall. And the ground that they walked across was dry ground. Watch God do that with the blast of His nostrils. Amen. Just watch God do that. You say, preacher, if I'd have saw that, count me into the faithful crowd. If I'd have saw that, preacher, count me into the dedicated crowd. If, preacher, if I'd have saw that, preacher, I would never miss church again. If I'd have saw that, I'd never do this, never do that. And I'd And I'm going to tell you, after they saw that Red Sea experience, they went from that, Exodus 15:22. They went from that mighty Red Sea demonstration of God's power that let them go through and it drowned all of the enemy. The horses and all. They saw that. 3 days, chapter 15 of Exodus verse 22 and chapter 16 and verse 2 talks about how it was 3 days, and guess what they started doing? Murmuring. They had to be Baptist. 3 days from seeing such a mighty, mighty act of God, and yet 3 days they're murmuring about not having any water. In chapter 15 and verse 22, they were brought to Marah. You remember the story and how that God miraculously through a tree, God told Moses, throw the tree into that bitter water and it becomes sweet. That's a picture of the cross. Yeah. Amen. God's cross turns sweet, bitter lives into sweet lives. Amen. But it turned the water into where they could drink it. They saw another miracle. I mean, another miracle that prevented them from dying, because no water means death. And so they drank the water, Brother Carroll. Satisfied. God satisfied. Why? Well, I would have said, you murmuring bunch of heathens, I ain't helping you till your tongue cleaves to the roof of your mouth. I ain't helping you. Amen. You lay out under the stars and stick your tongue out, hope a little dew lights on it. Amen. For water. I ain't helping you if I'd have been God, but I wasn't God. Amen. 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 If I was God, there'd probably be a whole lot more people already in the pit. And I would probably be one of them. But let me give this to you quickly. I've got to hurry. But in chapter 16 in verse 2, after seeing what God did with the water, after what God had done with the Red Sea and all of that, here we find in chapter 16 verse 2, they murmured about being hungry, not having nothing to eat. And guess what God did then? Sent a manna from heaven. And they saw that. I mean, over and over, step by step by step, God would do something big, and then it wouldn't be but just a day or two. They'd be whining and complaining and fussing, or my friend, involved in gross sin. Now watch this. God fed them with that, and then just a short period of time after complaining with that, in chapter 17, they're complaining with a lack of water again. Complaining with a lack of water. Instead of saying, hey boys, don't worry about it. I don't know where it's coming from or how it's going to get to us. But God didn't lead us out of Egypt to kill us. God's not going to let the Egypt life beat and surpass the life that we now have following God. God's not going to let Egypt outdo Him. Don't worry about it, boys. Let's just trust God. Watch God work. And that's what they should have done. But instead, they looked around and they didn't see no water spigot. And they looked around, they didn't see no fountain. And they looked around and they didn't see no river. They didn't see no wells. And they began to doubt, my friend. All doubt comes from sight living. When we begin to murmur, it's not when we're walking by faith. We're murmuring because we can't see it. And we can't touch it. And we can't hold it. And we can't spin it. And we can't ride it. And we can't... Amen. God... again, came through for them. Let me move off of that illustration and give you some more real quickly. In Luke 24, you know the two on the road to Emmaus? Like I said, these are no particular order. I just wrote them down as the Lord gave them to me or brought them to my memory. The two on the road to Emmaus, two disciples, the Bible calls them, 3 days earlier, before Jesus was crucified, man, they was... fine, Jesus was the greatest thing that ever was, and wow, He's the King and all of this, but all of a sudden He's dead now, and 3 days had passed and they never stayed to see if He was going to get up. They went ahead and give up. That's usually what happens when you're not interested in Him getting up, is that you end up giving up. But because He got up, I don't have to give up. Hallelujah, that's good. Amen. Here are the two on the road to Emmaus, my friend. Jesus rose and appeared to them as a stranger. And guess what? They began to whine. And they began to be sad and sorrowful with their countenance and with their conversation. And they said, you know, we really believed it was Him. We thought it was Him. I mean, here they telling Jesus. Of course, they didn't know it was Jesus. Their eyes was closed. He had their eyes closed where they couldn't see, you know, it was Him. And guess what? And within three days, Brother Silas, here they are, giving up, going back to the house, whining, and all down in the mouth, and said, well, you know what? We thought it was Him. Here's another example. John chapter number 6, Jesus just got through feeding the multitude with the loaves and fishes. You remember the story? Guess what happened? That same multitude that He fed, they thought, and I want to ask y'all, I want to ask you something. Had you been there and witnessed what cannot be comprehended by our little weak brains, to watch God take little 5 loaves and 2 fishes that you could put in one hand, that wasn't even enough to feed one of these little boys about this size right here, that lad. Jesus takes that lad's lunch and blessed it and began to break it, and my friend ended up feeding 5,000 men plus women and children. Could have been as many as 15 to 20,000 people. Took a little lunch that you, my friend, amen, who said it was 2 sardines and 5 hush puppies, amen. That's probably about the size of it. But anyway, fed that. You say, preacher, if I'd have been there and saw that, count on me, Jesus, to be a faithful follower. Count on me, Lord. I don't care what people say. I'm going with Jesus. If He can do that, He can do anything. Amen. He's worthy of my devotion. He's worthy of my attention. He's worthy of my affection. But guess what? Jesus took that same crowd that He had just fed miraculously and had 12 baskets left over. And He thought, well, you know what? Now that they're full, it's time to preach to them.
You're right.
He rears back and takes that bread that they had just got through eating to make a spiritual truth and said, now, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And He preached on that. And guess what? That whole crowd, Brother Jeremy, walked off and left Him full and burping. Walked off and left the very hand that had just fed them. I'm talking moments, few hours at the most. And then He turned to His own 12 and said, will you not also go away? Of course, Peter, about the only time he did open his mouth and said something worth saying, amen. He said, but to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Well, Jesus, where do you think we can't go nowhere? Amen. Boy, this one thing I like about what Peter said. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know what Peter was saying? Lord, we're hanging around because of Your Word. We're not hanging around to get another miracle and get us more food. We're hanging around because when You speak, it does something for us. We can't go nowhere else, amen, and get the Word. You've got the words of eternal life. Count on us. But that crowd that He had just performed a miracle on turned and walked off and left Him. Within hours. Short period of time. Short-lived blessings of God. That's what I'm preaching about. Shortly, you said, preach, I wouldn't have. Ain't no way. I don't care what he preached. I'd have went to the altar. They said it was hard sayings. I don't care. Amen. Jesus, you can preach them hard sayings. I don't know how I can live up to it, but I ain't leaving. I ain't leaving. I'm not going to the house. I'm not quitting. I'm going to go to the altar. I like what somebody said. Preach, you may preach me to the altar, but you're not going to preach me to the house. Amen. I'd hate for somebody to ask me, a neighbor or a work associate, well, why don't you go down there no more? Well, you know that straight preaching. I think that would be called self-incrimination. I believe that would be called self-exposure. I'm not going down there. That preacher preaches it tight. That preacher preaches straight. They shout and dance about and have a good time down there. I'm not going down there. The short-lived blessings of God. Let me move on. I got to hurry. Let me hurry right here. Look here. Here's your note. Y'all ready? Turn to John 20. I want you to see this right quick. John 20. Can you imagine Peter and the disciples in John 20? The Bible plainly shows us here in verse 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 that Simon and the disciples went to the empty tomb. They went to the empty tomb. They went inside the empty tomb. They saw, verse 7, the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Can you imagine what that meant? Can you imagine here Peter and them, knowing what Jesus said, that, you know, if you destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. I mean, here Jesus is gone. Peter and them went there and they saw this. Now watch this. Look over in chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, when the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Did you understand that the disciples was there? Peter was there. The only one that wasn't there was Thomas. And then again in verse 26 down through 31, Thomas reveals himself. I mean, Jesus reveals himself to Thomas. Just keep in mind, Peter, what he had seen. He saw the resurrection far as the empty tomb. Here now, Jesus appears in the room with them, revealing Himself as the resurrected Christ. Reveals Himself to Thomas, and then, somebody help with this. John 21, Peter has all been out of shape, discouraged, and says in verse number 3, I go a-fishing. Now that wasn't a statement that says, I'm going to take a break, I need a little bit of relaxation here, I'm going to catch a few fish, just kind of chill out a little bit. No, that was a statement of backsliding. That was a statement, my friend, of discouragement. I go a-fishing. Wait a minute. Don't forget it. I'm preaching on what now? Thank you. I'm glad one person's listening tonight. That encourages me. I'm preaching on what? I know better than ask questions. On Wednesday night, just preach. Think everybody's enjoying it and receiving something. Amen. I mean, all I asked was the title. I didn't ask you how many verses have I read from and what illustrations have I gave, what points have I gave. I just asked, what am I preaching on tonight? Amen. Thank you, brother. That was close. Amen. I feel really edified now. But after what Peter had saw, here he says, I'm going fishing. And the other disciple said, we also go with thee. Now, that's just another one. I'm going to skip over some. Turn to Mark 4 right quick. Look at Mark 4. Turn to Mark 4. Good thing I'm having you to turn in your Bibles. At least there's some activity. Amen. I'm going to start setting a camera up here. I'm going to put a camera up here and let y'all get preacher view. I'm going to let y'all see what I see. And then you'll pray for me when you see how easy it is to preach to people with their eyes closed. Studied and prayed and got a word from God that's burning in your soul and people can't even tell you the title. That's good. That's wonderful. In other words, I'm telling you, you ought to listen. Amen? Amen. I didn't get to preach Sunday. I'm preaching tonight. Amen. Amen. All right, here we go. I'm about done. We'll be done before daylight. Mark 4. Look here at Mark 4. I'm just giving you some scripture, Lord, give to me. Mark 4. You say, preacher, look at this. Look at this. Mark 4. You can read it also in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. Look at Mark 4, verse 16. This is the part where he's talking about the stony ground. And they are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Y'all see that statement? They endure but for a time. Now, listen to me now. If there wasn't no danger of us living, having the short-lived blessings of God in our life, letting them get by us, letting them go through and on by and forget about them and no evidence of them, hey, then why preach this tonight? I'm preaching this tonight because we can do it. We have done it. I have done it. You have done it. This church has done it. We've let the power and the presence and the mighty moves of God that we've seen here go through and by us, my friend, with leaving no trace of evidence. Amen. And for the young people, thanks, I'm preaching to all the old people. I could remind them of all the youth camps I took them to watch them get fired up to come back here only to last a week, maybe, or two. Am I preaching in the house? Am I preaching something that's far-fetched and way out yonder in left field? Huh? Oh, yeah. That's right. I know I'm in the house. I know God told me. But look right here. He said, preacher, what's the deal with it? Right here it said those that received the word of God, their hearts was like the stony ground, my friend, that quickly received it with gladness. And the Bible said they had no root in themselves and so endured but for a time. But afterward, or afterward, when affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Did you notice that? Nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is the word of God. Right. Nothing wrong with the sower. The problem is with the soul. The soul represented the condition of the hearts of the hearer. And let me say something about that stony ground soul. There wasn't nothing wrong with the dirt. There wasn't nothing wrong with the ground. It was the rubbish and the rocks and the things in the ground that should not be there that prevented the seed, the Word of God, from doing in their life what God intended for it to do. You know why there's the short-lived effect of God's Word in many people's lives? It's nothing wrong with the seed. It's not the sower's fault. I tell you, y'all listening? Are y'all listening to the preacher tonight? I tell you what the problem is. People are allowing stones and rocks and brush and rubbish and stuff to stay in their life. And then they wonder why they can't hardly survive from Sunday to Wednesday with any spirituality. There must be, if you're going to have the long-lived blessing of God, there must be soul preparation. Get the rocks out. Get the things out of your life. I've said it, I've preached it, we've heard it testified tonight. There's power in purity.
That's right.
You ever wondered why Samson had the power of God on him? Did you know that it was because of his separation? Did you know it was because of his separation? You remember and I'm just going to paraphrase and make the story shorter than it is. Delilah, you know, and how she tricked him. And you know what the Philistines kept saying? You know what they kept saying? Find out, and I'm paraphrasing, find out where the secret to his strength lies. And every time that Samson would tell Delilah, it's this or that, she would tell the Philistine lords, and they would come and attack him in that area. But he kept saying this when he would tell them whatever it was, bind him with the wits or whatever, he would tell them, then will I be as any other man. Said that over and over. I will be weak. I'll become as any other man. In other words, I'll lose my distinction. I'll lose what separates me from all the other men. And when you find out what it is that separates me from all the other men, he said, then I will lose power and I will be weak. And he was a Nazarite, not a Nazarene. And by the way, Jesus was not a Nazarite. You say, well, I've seen Jesus. I've seen Jesus with a moppy head. Hey, don't you believe a word of that? That's a Catholic painting.
That's right. You're right.
And I don't believe nothing they say.
That's right. Amen.
Somebody that says Jesus is a co-worker and a co-redemptor that Mary's a co-redemptrix and a co-redemptrix and co-mediatrix with Jesus. You think I'm going to listen to them to tell me that Jesus looks this way or that way? Jesus ain't got no moppy head and then put it in the Bible, it's a shame for man to have long hair. You think he's going to put that in there?
Right.
He's going to contradict his word, live something that's contradictory to his word? I don't believe a word of that.
That's right.
Amen. 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 We don't matter if you like it or not, that's the truth.
That's right.
But Samson was a Nazarite. Yes. And that separated him from everybody else. So actually, you could say it very clearly that his power was in his separation. I've never seen a church yet that weren't interested in separation and had the power of God on them. If this church, and I preach it and it gets rejected, I preach it and it gets rejected, I preach it and it gets rejected, but I'm going to preach it anyhow, amen. Separation is in the Bible. It's all through the Bible. And by the way, separation is God's idea. He starts out in Genesis dividing night from day and dividing land from the water. He divided, my friend, the kingdoms. And He's the God of division. He's the one that separates. Amen. Well, let me get on that. But the point I'm wanting to make here in this passage is the seed was ineffective for much of a long period of time, actually a short period of time, because of the condition of the people. I mean, it's real encouraging. I remember one time, I've done it numerous times. I've stopped doing it because it's too depressing. I usually would ask somebody before I would leave on Sunday morning, what did I preach this morning? Or I would ask somebody on Sunday night, what did I preach this morning? Or I'd ask somebody Wednesday, what did I preach Sunday? And all of the don't know answers and the old blank look on their face, I stopped asking. I just stopped asking. Amen. I just stopped asking. It's depressing. You know, listen, you know why the Word of God is short-lived in people's lives? Nothing wrong with the Word. I tell you, it's the heart. It's the condition of the heart. This Bible, though it is God's Word, it cannot grow in a stony heart. A heart that's hard. A heart, my friend, that's full of rocks and stones. Amen. Get those out. The dirt will grow. The dirt will still grow the seed. Just rocks won't. Get those things out of your life. Get things out of your life. When's the last time you quit something? When's the last time you give up something? We wonder why Sunday night, and it hadn't yet, but we wonder why Sunday night here in a couple of weeks will just be a faint memory. If we're wanting it to hang around in our life and we want it to be real and influential in our life weeks ahead, months ahead, let's make sure, my friend, the word that we've heard and what God has said to us, my friend, has place to take root in our life. Amen. Well, let me finish up here. Here's another example, real quickly, my last one. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15 that He appeared to over 500 brethren at once. He stayed on earth, Jesus did, after His resurrection, 40 days. He ascended on the 40th day. 10 days after that, the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. He appeared to 500 brethren. But when you come to Acts chapter 2, 1 and 2, you find there's only 120 in the upper room. Now wait a minute, I'm talking about a post-resurrection appearance of Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus stood in the midst of them, my friend, with the wounds. Here He is literally, personally, physically, spiritually, right in front of them. And they saw Him and didn't even go think enough of Him to go to the upper room for a 10-day prayer meeting. Only 120 went. Never read about them 500 no more. Don't even know where they went, what happened to them or nothing. Maybe they was Baptists too. Too busy. Maybe they're too busy. You mean to tell me I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem and pray 10 days? I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem and tarry? Well, I ain't got time to tarry. I ain't got time to tarry. I'm in too big of a hurry. If I could say it like Brother Willis would, amen. But I thought there's another example of the short-lived blessing of God. There He is, Jesus. Wow, praise God. You want us to do what, Jesus? You want us to go and pray and wait? Till we be endued with power? No, sorry. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're up. I'm glad you rose again. But I'm out of here. Short-lived blessing of God. I'm just going to give you this and I'm done. I just jotted down some reasons why that I think that we have the short-lived blessings of God. I believe they're short-lived. And I'm just going to read them off, most of them. They're short-lived because it gets on you, not in you. I wonder how many Sunday night... What happened Sunday night got on you but didn't get in you. Amen? That could be preached. I believe it could be they're the short-lived. The blessings of God many times are short-lived in our life because we get around it but don't get in it. How many Sunday night was watching? Didn't experience nothing. They only watched. Short-lived many times because the illustration of the Egyptian or the Israelites, they were short-lived because they would not turn loose of Egypt's life, lunches, or longings. The blessings of God, I'm going to tell you what will stop the blessings of God in your life. I'm talking about even Sunday night. You know what will stop those blessings? This world. Worldliness, my friend, causes the blessings of God to be short-lived. And I could preach that till I die of old age. And people still going to be worldly. Not everybody, but some. So they would not turn loose of the Egypt's life and longings. They kept, all they kept talking about, most of that crowd, was the leeks, onions, and garlics of Egypt. It's short-lived. Here's you something else I wrote down. They're short-lived many times because they were influenced by those that wasn't interested in living it. They listened to that Korah crowd. Now I'm going to tell you what will kill the blessings of God in your life and make them short-lived. You know what it will be? Run with people that could care less, couldn't care less about the blessings of God. Amen. And that crowd will kill the blessings of God in your life. Amen. Here's another one. Short-lived because it never became their life. If the blessings of God are not implemented into your life and become your life, you will soon get over it. Amen. God, listen, when you were physically born, for me, that's been 48 years ago. Be 49 here, first day of January. You know what? What God gave me then, it became my life. And guess what? Guess what I've done every day since? Lived it. I'll just talk about a birth and somebody named Bear Racklett that was born in Transylvania County January 1st, 1961. No, that's me. I'm living that life. You know what will cause the blessings of God to be short-lived in your life? Don't let it become your life. Let Sunday night just be something you talk about on the phone. Let Sunday night, let the revival last week, let the times like that, your prayer time when God meets with you, or as Brother Frank is talking about, riding down the road and God's blessing you so good. Let those times just be emotional. Don't let them get in your life. Don't let them become your life and see how long they last. They won't last long. They won't last long. Short-lived because something else got bigger to them than the blessing. You know why they got over it? You know why they got over it? The children of Israel got over all that they'd saw from Egypt to the Red Sea and all of that. You know why they got over it? They let a calf get bigger than God. They let a sorry, no-count heathen leader step up and say, we need to make a God that we can see. Instead of following the man of God that spent time in prayer, that was up there on the mountain getting a word from God, they let an old liberal, my friend, that didn't believe in nothing, step up and get in leadership and start influencing their life. Next thing, they're bowing down to a golden calf and saying, "This be the gods that delivered us from Egypt."
That's right.
Now that's about ignorant. It just was made. How could it have been the one that... And how could have it, my friend, made a way through the Red Sea when it couldn't even create itself? It had to be made by them. Get away from God, you get foolish. How did they get over it? Young people, I want y'all to listen to me. You're on fire now, and praise God, I'm going to do everything I can to fan it. But you know how you'll get over it? Just let things, let people, let friends get bigger than God to you. And I'm telling you, the blessings will go that quick out of your life. I've seen it here. The youth camp illustration. Classic. We go down there. There's no cell phones. I know that cuts the jugular in most of them. No cell phones, no television, no country music, praise God, no rock music. Amen. No friends, my friend, around talking a bunch of garbage and trash. Everybody's dressed. There's no immodesty on the whole place for a whole week. Basically, they're cut off from the world for a week. And usually before the week's over, the power of God moves and the young people worships and gets fired up and excited, and then they come home and they get their cell phone And then they hear the music. Then they listen. They get on Facebook. And then they get on these things. And they listen to their garbage music. Amen. And next thing you know, they wonder, well, preacher, I wonder why that fire at teen camp's done fired out. It's the world. It's the world. It's the world. Amen. I mean, listen, you that went to youth camp this year, I don't mean to just labor on that, but if we were to drop the big screen, if we had it on DVD, that Thursday night that God come through there so powerful? If we had that, and you know out of all them, I don't know how many hundreds of people was there, you know what church God seemed to single out and dump on? The RBT bunch. Out of all the churches there, out of all the young people there, am I not telling it right? It was RBT young people testifying. It was RBT young people, my friend, that was on fire. I wonder how many of our young people that went, if I could show that tonight, if I had the ability to show that tonight and you could see that and then compare that to where you are now, I wonder how many would be embarrassed. It's no wonder that we've got young people lost that's not in a real big hurry to get saved. Because they see that. They see them get up here on Sunday morning after the youth camp testifying, praise God, on fire, praise God, hallelujah. And then in a week, you know, they never hear no testimonies or nothing. You know what goes through their mind? Listen, young people, I know I'm preaching it straight to you, but listen, you know what goes through those young people's mind that are lost? I ain't went nothing to it. Just a little emotional fling, a little religious camp, a little stirring. Short-lived. That's not the intention. God wants it to change your life, and it will. The only thing that will stop it is sin in the world and flesh. Amen. Let me give you these others, and I'm done. I didn't mean to preach this long. God help. Short-lived because something got bigger than the blessing. Short-lived when the present physical desires was bigger than the past deliverance. When they wanted a piece of chicken more than they, when it was big, when that was bigger to them than the past deliverance, they got over it. Can I say that one real quick? I've got about three right here to give you. I want to say that one again. It's short-lived when the present physical desires were bigger than the past deliverance. Short-lived because the flesh cannot and will not live the spiritual life. Short-lived because they did not build upon the blessing. What God did last week and Sunday, God means for it to be built upon. Amen. What God did should be a stepping stone for us to go to another level. That's what it should be. Short-lived because they did not think about it, and therefore they forgot it. The Bible said they soon forget the works of God. You know what? You know how you forget something? I'm done. You know how you forget? You know how you forget? Don't think about it. Don't rehearse it in your mind. Don't write no notes down where later on it can jog your memory to think about some of the details. Huh? You get over it when you don't think about it. It's still on our minds. But will it be next week? Will it be the week after? Amen? And I don't believe God wants us to just get hung up, you know, and live presently and tomorrow off of Sunday or last week. But I believe God wants us to feed on that. God wants us to spend some time thinking about those things. Listen, because if you're not thinking, you can't be thankful. Thinking and thanking goes together. We'll get over the blessings of God, Brother Craddock. They'll become short-lived in our life when we are not thankful for them. When we are constantly saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Thank you, Lord, for what you did. You know what? Won't soon forget it. The short-lived blessings of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I pray you'll take the message tonight, Lord, that you laid upon my heart. Dear Lord, that you stirred me with, and I want to thank you right now, Lord. I want to thank you right now for 28 years ago. God, the revival I got saved in. dear Lord, the power of God, the blessings of God, the manifestation of God in those days, dear Lord, has affected me and still affects me even today. Lord, there are people today that are serving You that got saved and got fired up in that revival 28 years ago in North Carolina. Dear Lord, I believe You want Your work to be a lasting work. God, when You move, You expect that there to be evidence of that in our life on and on. Help us, dear Lord, to cultivate it. Help us, dear God, to put forth the maintenance, whatever's necessary, Lord, to retain and keep in our life the effects of the blessings of God. Lord, I don't want to get up in this church in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, and remind the church of what happened on last Sunday night. We should never have to do that. God help us, Jesus. If we don't feed the fire, the natural course of fire is to go out. If we don't feed it with attention, if we don't feed it, Lord, with obedience, and feed it, Lord, with the desire of wanting more, then, Lord, it'll go out. God help us, I pray. Lord, there's people in our midst tonight lost without God, lost without Jesus. Never, not saved. They're not saved. Good person, moral person, maybe even religious person. But dear Father, they're missing, dear God, salvation. And only saved people goes to heaven. Only those that are born again goes to heaven. Those indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the witness of God in them. Lord, You said Your Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Father, I pray You'll take the message tonight. Stir our young people. Stir all of us up, Lord, including myself. I don't want to get over the blessings of God. I don't want them to be short-lived in my life. Seal it to my heart, Lord. May it become my life. May I live it, Father. Not talk about it only, think about it only, but live it. Let the blessings of God become practical in my life. Have Your way in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.